Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Goddess Divine Podcast. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Today, we're going to be talking about channeling. We're going to explore what channeling is, how it works, the types of channeling, and how modern users use it to connect with goddesses, deities, in a safe, practical, and profound way. I have been meaning to do this episode for some time because I get requests to just channel spirits or to channel specifically goddesses. And I really wanted to explain what channeling is, how it works, but also the simple fact that what you're getting is my perspective. And I personally just don't sit down and just channel any spirit, period. Even if they're goddesses, I will explain this throughout the entire episode that for me, from my perspective, there's certain requirements, but also I imagine respect is very huge for deities, and I try not to take advantage, and I really want to be respectful. So I'll explain to you why I'm very selective, but also what I feel like is necessary in order to do this work. But again, this is just my perspective. I want to stress this because I personally, just like you, I've listened to other people, whether it's YouTube, Instagram. I think that's it, really. Those are the only forms I use to kind of check in. And I hear people channeling deities all the time, very willy-nilly. And I think it's very interesting. I love to hear other people's perspectives. But for me personally, I require a little bit more of an in-depth relationship. So I'll talk to you about that. So let's get to talking about what channeling actually is. So I think this word has gone very mainstream. So most likely if you're listening, you already know. And if you did listen to my other podcast, Intuitive Awakening, I did an entire episode all about channeling. So I'll make this a little bit shorter. But let's define it. So channeling is the act of allowing a spirit or higher consciousness, deity, any type of spirit you choose, essentially to communicate. And I think this practice has been utilized across cultures, shamans, prophets, witch doctors, mystics, all across the world since the beginning of quote-unquote time. Many people have reported receiving guidance from the unseen realms. They've delivered messages about the soul, about the divine realms, about the cosmos. And these messages could emerge in a variety of ways, whether it's spoken words, music, visions, or even written texts passed from a spirit to the channeler, who is essentially the vessel. So in the modern context, channelers, sometimes called psychic mediums, even though I don't think that's the appropriate term for it, they often work with spirit guides. And your spirit guides are these very benevolent, high wisdom guides who offer insight. They encourage, they offer clarity, and they have their own personalities, all right? So very distinct. There's a great book called Opening to Channel, How to Connect with Your Guide. I read this so many times years ago, and I'm going to explain it to you how channeling is essentially defined by the authors. So they say channeling is a means of spiritual unfoldment and conscious transformation, connecting with a higher consciousness that has been called God, that has been called all that is, or the universal mind, period. And it requires intentionally shifting your mind to an expanded state of awareness, setting aside your ordinary concerns, and opening up to the flow of wisdom from beyond. So this is something that I think is very well detailed in this book, Opening to Channel, How to Connect with Your Guide. It's by Sanaya Roman and Dwayne Packard. It's a little bit older now, but it's a great starter book. Perhaps you are familiar with such historical figures like Jane Roberts, who channeled the entity Seth. There's also the one that we know the most here, Edgar Cayce, who was known as the Sleeping Prophet, someone who accessed wisdom in very deep trance states. And so across all practices, these channelers, they become a bridge, allowing higher knowledge to reach the physical world. So at its core, channeling is a deeply loving and intimate experience. When done consciously, the channeler remains aware and can stop or adjust the experience. In trance channeling, the body may fully relax, and the channeler may not consciously remember the messages that are being delivered, both forms allow the information or that wisdom to flow, but maybe just in different ways. For those of you seeking connection with the goddess, channeling is such a profound and useful tool. The goddess speaks to us through intuition, through symbols, and sometimes directly through our bodies, offering guidance, offering clarity and reassurance. And she reminds us that spiritual truth, it's not just external. It exists within us, just waiting to be recognized, to be embodied and shared with everybody else. That's important, right? The dissemination of information to help heal people and the planet. And I would say for some people, maybe I obviously cannot fully generalize here, but the experience of channeling, it can be described as deeply loving. It's joyful. I will say for me, it's very expansive. You know, people cry during these experiences because they can really feel like the oneness of all things. You might experience like a sense of awe because there is a complete union with all that is. You remember that there's no such thing as separation, right? We're just told that. So for modern practitioners, you know, this essence of quote unquote hearing the goddess, it's kind of this melding of human and divine energy. It's the sacred trust between the channeler and the wisdom that they are inviting in. So what are the types of channeling? I'm only going to give you a few because I think these are the most applicable and the most prevalent. The first one I'm going to call intuitive channeling, which is also called mental channeling, which is what I do. And supposedly this is the most common form. This means you receive your messages through thoughts, images, inner hearing, emotional impressions, and then claircognizance, kind of like a sudden knowing. So the goddess or the spirit in this case communicates through your mind, but you remain fully present and aware. It often feels like your thinking is shifting or you're going to hear a voice with a very different tone that starts entering your mental space. And some of the hallmarks of this are that the messages feel pretty wise, they're calm, and they're certainly very distinct from your own. You remain conscious and in control. And then it's almost like you have this stream of insight just coming in. But what is so important for me to say here is I have been doing channeling for 10 years, which is crazy. It blows my mind when I think about it. And I started off with my spirit guide, and then it increased, I was going to say elevated, but whatever, to my guardian angels, and then the archangels, which is a higher vibration, and it's harder to hold for long periods of time at the beginning. And recently, for the past, God, I'm going to say 4 years only, goddesses, it's a totally different frequency. You have to remember some of these laws or rules, if you will, that each spirit has its own frequency, right? And so we're tapping in, whenever we're tapping into spirit, any type, we're tapping into that frequency, which carries its own vibration. And I know some people hate that I use this new age lingo, but it is really, it's so useful here, I have to apply it. So whenever you're tapping into a goddess, and even the type of goddess, they each are going to have their own vibration. Some of them might have a stronger energy. Some of it might be less strong, which means it takes more work to reach the higher vibration and then to maintain it. It's the same thing when it comes to any other spirit that you contact. However, there are denser spirits that are closer to the earth where it might be easier for you to communicate. I'm just giving this information because I think it's super helpful, meaning that when I shifted over to first starting to channel the goddess, it was a totally different frequency. I had never done it before. I was only used to working with spirit guides, with archangels, angels, and then I was also communicating with elementals, which is something totally different. So all of this saying, like if you've never done this before, it takes practice, not only to connect, but to sustain it. Once you do it after a period of time and dedicated practice, it will get better. Anyway, I'm deviating. Let me get back to what I was talking about initially in terms of mental channeling. To me, the most important thing to remember about this or to know about it is that you remain fully conscious. Whenever I have channeled a goddess, I'm fully conscious. I'm aware. I hear them speaking. They have a very particular word choice. They sound very distinct, like individual personalities. and they can get upset at you. I have been chastised like a few times. So it's very, very distinct. And while sometimes with inner hearing, it sounds like your voice, it just sounds so distinct. Even when I'm sitting here thinking about Mother Mary, when I spoke to her, even though she's not quote unquote like deified, if you will, or like considered a deity, she still sounded so very, and her presence, she sounded distinct, and so was her presence. It was so calm, so patient, and so wise. Okay, I'm so totally going off script here. Second thing, let's move to automatic writing. This is really channeling or communicating through the written word. So you kind of enter this light trance, you relax into a receptive state. And let me just tell you guys, the more relaxed you are, the easier it is, because your channel, it becomes blocked through stress. And when you are very tired, angry, frustration, all of those denser, quote unquote, negative, if you will, types of energies or emotions, it really blocks your ability to communicate and hear clearly. So the more relaxed, more serene state that you can get into, the easier it is. And then automatic writing is very interesting, because I have done this before in the past. I haven't done that in a while, but usually what happens is you are allowing spirit to really move your hand and direct it. And the handwriting changes. This is what I remember from the past. Like, my handwriting would change greatly based upon who I'm communicating with. So if it was my guide, I noticed some of the letters were bigger. If it was an archangel, they might get a little bit smaller, and I might be writing really rapidly. So, in this case, if you're communicating with a goddess via automatic writing, again, you might just get simple words at the beginning, and then you might, you know, move on to phrases. You might even get symbolic drawings or just these stream of consciousness messages, which also happens even with mental channeling. So, when you're doing this, it might feel like the words are bypassing your logical mind, okay? And the writing, again, may feel faster or smoother than usual, and your hand may move before you even hear or slash think the message. Takes practice. And then next, we have trance channeling, which you all have probably heard about. And so with trance channeling, you shift your awareness partially out of your body while a deity or spirit moves closer to your energy field. So you may feel your voice change slightly. You might feel pressure in your head or your chest. You might experience these temperature shifts in your body, or you actually might speak some messages out loud. You're still aware of your surroundings, but it's like you're sitting in the background while something takes over. And some of the hallmarks here are that the messages come through voice or gestures. Your time might feel slightly distorted, and your memory may be foggy afterward. And I think, again, the whole memory thing and the conscious and unconscious thing is such a weird experience, because even when I do mental channeling, I'm conscious, but I remember some of the conversation, but I don't remember all of it. And I have to go back and listen sometimes. And then lastly, I'm going to say full body channeling, which is 100% deep trance. Okay. This is the most intense and rarest forms. I can't do this. And to be honest, I don't want to do this. So the deity or the spirit essentially steps in and uses your voice, your gestures, your energy field, and your breathing patterns. And in this case, you step almost completely back. So some people describe it as like watching from afar, or essentially going to sit in another room. Now with this, you may not remember everything afterward. Your body temperature, again, is probably going to shift. And then after the session, you're probably going to feel very exhausted. And that's the other thing I need to say about all of these. When you do channeling, because again, you are raising your vibration to try to match or reach that of the deity, spirit, whatever you're communicating with, it is exhausting. It, especially at the beginning when you're practicing, it is tough. I remember at the beginning, the angels used to tell me to take a break and go take like a 20-minute nap. And it took so much practice to sustain it. So just know that if you feel really exhausted, take a nap or stop, take a break, and slowly increase. I think with this deep trance channeling also, Again, that spirit is like taking over, right? So you need to have very strong protection. You need to have like a mentor, somebody guiding you through facilitating this, who's done this for a very long period of time. And you need to have trustworthy spirit guides, and never invite in unknown entities. You have to be very careful with that type of work. So to consciously channel a goddess, a practitioner typically prepares their mind, their body, and their spirit. So this begins with meditation to clear all distractions, try to quiet the ego mind. If any of you have listened to my older channeling with Hathor, it was one thing she told me during the channeling session, that there's too much noise in my head and I need to learn how to quiet it better. You also need to create space for the divine energy to flow. So again, meditation, clearing out, you know, the busyness in your mind, really relaxing the body. So how do we do this exactly? The first step is to understand your own channeling strengths. Can you automatically write? Are you a trance channeler? Are you a mental channeler? You need to figure this out, and the only way to figure it out is to try, okay? I always say start small. Now, I'm assuming, I made a lot of assumptions here, but if you want to communicate with the deity, I've kind of assumed that you already are communicating with your own spirit guide. If not, I would suggest that's what you practice with first, believe it or not. Your guides are always there to help you out. They know that you're on this journey and they want to make it easier for you, and they support you, okay? So I would always suggest this first. That might seem like left field for you guys, but if you need to determine whether or not you can automatically write, you can trance channel or mental channel, practice with your guide first. All right, so determine, number one, which one you can do. Knowing your preferred method is going to help you approach the goddess in a way that resonates, of course, with your natural abilities. So begin by practicing with your spirit guide first, right? So this is going to allow you to identify what you can do, strengthen your skills, gain confidence, and become familiar with the energy of channeling before inviting a deity into the process. Know what it feels like, because it feels a certain way when you automatically write, when you trance channel, or even mental channel. You will start to feel what spirit and spirits feel like. So you'll learn discernment through that process. Next, we have to talk about selecting a goddess to connect with. This is where I probably differ the most with other practitioners. I'm not someone who sits down and just randomly picks a goddess and tries to channel them. That's not for me. I have seen other practitioners do it, and that's fine. But for me, this is not a casual decision. It's important that you take time to learn her history, her stories, her myths, her offerings, and her epithets. Building a foundation of reverence and understanding, to me, is quite essential. So meditation, offerings, creating an altar, and studying her all deepen this connection, right? This is very important. So do the groundwork first. Figure out who you think you are in alignment with, and also, what do you want to learn? How are you trying to grow and expand here? Also, what support maybe do you need? What type of connection are you looking for? Are you looking for a mother figure for support? Are you looking for Hecate who can help you? Maybe you're at a crossroads in your life and you need to be very decisive with the direction that you're choosing. While she can't choose it for you, she can illuminate the possibilities, right? So determine who you feel most connected with, and you will know more as you will know who resonates with you the more that you read their stories, their myths, and then study them a little bit more from there. The other thing that I wanted to mention that I think is really relevant here, and I don't know how many people actually talk about this in the, I'm going to put quotes around, community. In history, I think we're all aware that the Romans copied the gods of the Greeks, right? So you have Hera, who is known as Juno in Roman mythology, and then you have Artemis in, you know, in Greek mythology, who is then known as Diana, supposedly the same goddess with some differences, right, in their aspects. This is really important to learn as well. That's why you really need to learn your goddesses. The reason I think this is important to mention is because, let's say that you're like, oh, I feel really aligned with more of I don't know, a liberating goddess, a forest goddess, a warrior goddess, so you're attracted to Artemis. However, Artemis, there are some differences between Artemis and Diana, and based on their aspects, in terms of how they were worshipped, respected, and regarded within their own societies, if you will, then there are going to be some differences. So you actually may be a little bit more aligned to Diana than to Artemis. What's funny is, for me, in a very personal sense, I have a tendency to see what looks like Artemis with the bow all the time in a deer, like when I meditate, just out of the blue. But then I hear Diana. So I just want you to be mindful of these things, because truthfully, studying and learning them is going to help to strengthen that actual connection with the goddess and know who you align with more. Okay, so as I've said, we're laying the groundwork here: meditation, offerings, creating an altar, studying her epithets, which is also important. All of this is going to deepen your connection with the particular goddess that you've selected and learned and studied and want to really become aligned with. So let me just give you a scenario here. You've chosen your goddess, studied her stories, epithets, built an altar, meditated with her, and perhaps offered gifts over the course of 2 or 3 months. Now, I'm assuming if you've done all of this, and then on the side, you've been practicing channeling to figure out where your strengths are, you've channeled your spirit guide, perhaps your other spirits like angels, what have you, and then you're confident in your channeling abilities. So what comes next? Ask for permission. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but to me, again, goddess spirituality is also about reverence and respect. And whenever I have communicated or channeled a goddess that I personally have yet to establish a strong foundation with, I always ask in advance for permission, and I explain why I'm doing it. And I get the permission first. I'm not going to make an assumption that, of course, they should just speak to me. No, there's a reason why I'm doing it. There's information that needs to be shared. There's a way I might want to help. And I feel like they are the best to share certain types of insights and wisdom. Therefore, I am asking for permission first. And that is what I suggest you do, even to the deity that you have been connecting with for some time. You will, if you already know how to channel, then you're going to get the answer. Yes, no, maybe not, or, you know, maybe so, whatever it might be. And then I always say the next course of action, again, this is my practice, this is just specific to me, is to invoke the goddess using the particular epithets, which brings me to that. So each goddess has certain epithets, especially based off of their locality or their regionality. All right. Some, there might be even a laundry list for a goddess in a specific region as opposed to another. The question is, what is it that you're trying to communicate about? Right. So let's just use Hecate, since I've been studying her so much for the past month. So we'll talk about her. So let's say I want something illuminated that I can't understand, that I've been in the dark about a topic or something. I might call forth Hecate Phosphorus. Okay. Otherwise, if I'm trying to think, if I'm at a crossroads and I need to make a decision and I don't know which way to go and I need that clarity, I'm probably going to invoke maybe Hecate Trititus, the torchbearer at the crossroads, or Hecate Propylaea, the key holder of the threshold. I'm not really sure, but I would pick a traditional epithet associated with what type of illumination I am requesting. What type of support I'm requesting, so on and so forth, because you're calling in that aspect. I'm going to give you a really quick example here. When you think of goddess Aphrodite, you always think of her as the goddess of beauty, the goddess of love, but there's so much more to her. When I first started connecting with her, I was really honest with her about whether or not I felt like I should be connecting with her, or she's somebody, you know, that I felt connection with, period, because her aspects, I feel like I don't personally connect with or embody. But then when I was in meditation with her, she actually said Aphrodite, I believe it's Araya, and this means warlike. And so in this form, Aphrodite didn't present as like soft or passive, right? She was worshipped in Sparta as this warlike goddess. So it was very interesting that she presented that epithet to me, because she said, actually, I would probably feel connected more to her through that. So all of this to say is just to be mindful of the epithets as well and the aspects of the goddess in which you wish to connect with. Okay, so what does it sound like? This is a question I feel like I really need to answer here. It depends. It depends, again, what type of channeling you do. I could not tell you at all about deep trance channeling. I don't do that. Automatic writing? Yes, you can hear it, maybe. It's usually through the pen. And you can really discern personality through the word choice. Now, mental channeling, I can hear them speaking, but also, again, a very definitive tone and sound and very clear-cut word choice. I'm going to tell you all something that I don't think I've shared with anybody before, but one day I was channeling both Athena and Hera, which is a bad, like, poor decision on my part. And I'm trying to remember whether or not I called them both in, or if I called one in and the other one came. I can't remember. Anyway, we were in conversation and I said something that I did not think was offensive or rude, but oh my goodness, with a quickness, Athena let me know what was going on. She let me know what was up, and I could hear it so loudly. It was like I was chastised in this room that I'm in right now. I'll never forget it. I was like, oh God, okay. So the more, like I said, the more that you practice, the more you'll get to know, you know, and know them and how they present for you. But with trance channeling, to me, and if you're naturally clairaudient, you'll be able to hear their distinctive voice. Always be respectful. Be thoughtful on your word choice. Always know that whenever you're doing any channeling, before you can get the question out, before you even finish that thought, they are already answering the question. It is so crazy how that happens. So know that that happens as well. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Always provide an offering when you do this. Be mindful of that. And when the session concludes, always cleanse your energy field. That is very important. Always sever the cords between yourself and that spirit. You always want to make sure you do that. That's just good energetic hygiene and practice. All right. So I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to tell you guys about this. So when I do receive requests to channel a goddess, I put them on the back burner because I'm focusing on a few different goddesses that I'm studying and connecting and practicing with at this time. If I feel compatible with said goddess that one of you have proposed, then I will move in that direction. If I do not, I may not. It really just depends. So all of this to say is I create the channeling sessions for the goddesses that I feel most learned about, that I feel I have a deeper connection with as well. One more thing I think is crucial here and beneficial for you guys. So what happens if you're trying to channel a goddess and there's nothing? Nothing is coming. You have your altar, you did all the groundwork, and still after, I don't know, months of practice, you can't get anything from her. Then there's something going on. I don't know if you've been seeing this goddess in meditation. They're not showing up. I don't know. Maybe they're... Oh, okay. It's so funny. So as I'm doing this episode, I hear spirit talk to me. So I have to essentially say what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, like, try to build a bridge first. That's very interesting. I've never heard that before. Try to build a bridge, even in meditation, and see if they come and meet you halfway. If they don't, then there is a high probability that it's just not time. It is just not time. And I'm going to tell you another side story here. When I first started out, I really wanted to connect with the Morrigan. I loved her mythology, her stories. I felt like, yes, this is right. And apparently it was not the time. It was not the time several times that I tried. I heard a definitive no. Oh, okay, fine. A year ago before I was trying to move into a new home and I didn't know if I was going to get it. And I was in meditation and I wasn't asking for anybody to come, but I saw a woman start to approach me and she looked older, but she had she was in all black. There were these either crows or ravens around her and there was like feathers all at the top of her clothes. And before I could ask who she was, it was her. And I was very surprised to see her. And she, the next thing I know, we were in the house that I wanted and we were sitting there and she was actually reading my palm. How bizarre is that? But amazing. And she had so much to say to me. But she was so wonderful and so respectful and so ancient, so ancient. Oh my God. So all of that to say is it was only when the time was right. And so when I tried to contact her, that was 4 or 5 years ago. And that's how many years it has been until, okay, I'm ready to approach you. So just know that you're not necessarily doing anything wrong. It's just that it's not yet time. So somebody else is most likely going to come and start speaking to you in their place. So just know that. And another side story, there's a lot. Hera, Goddess Hera, I never called upon her. She was never somebody that I ever even had on my radar to connect to. Right? So there were others first, but she pushed her way through. I probably should have put it that way. But she popped up and she kept popping up. And I was like, is this the Greek Hera? And then she let her presence be known and she explained why and why we're compatible. That might sound scary to some of you, but I promise she's fantastic. So anyway, all of this to say is don't take it personally. There are other goddesses to help you for something else that's going on in your life where you need the most support. Therefore, they're more aligned for that mission and that level of support. So I recommend highly, again, to request permission, learn about that goddess, show reverence, do your best to connect, even connect in the dream world. That is so important. Try to connect in the dreams as well. And they will start showing up. All right, everybody. I think that sums everything up. I hope I covered everything I intended to discuss on today's episode. I just wanted to create this because I know so many people tell me, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. You can do this. Believe it or not, you can. I always say this in the classes that I teach. It's practice makes perfect. That's all it is. And even the more practice I have, the better I get. When I start, you know, falling off and not doing it, you know, it's like I have to get into the groove again and sit down and communicate. So if you want to do this, you can. And just figure out at the beginning where your strengths are at and also find the deity that aligns best with you. And don't be disheartened if another deity steps forward in their place. It is just because they are more aligned with your, probably your talents, what you need the most support with at that time in your life. So I would say approach it with an open mind and an open heart. Anyway, everybody, I think we've reached the half hour mark. So I am going to end this episode. And I really hope that this has been helpful in some way. And I would love to hear your stories. If you start a little practicing group with people, if you start practicing on your own, I love to hear it. All right, everybody, please have a good week ahead. Be safe and take care of yourselves. All right, bye.